Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey guys, we'll get to the show in a minute. Just wanted to give you a heads up on Red Men Plus, our subscription service. It's like Netflix for Reds. If you sign up there, you'll get even more Liverpool content, bonus features, documentaries, interviews, and tons more available both in video and podcast form. So yeah, redmenplus.com. Check it out. I hope you enjoy this show.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. It's the match build-up show. Steve Hoare here with Mick Moran and Chloe Bloxham to have a little look at Liverpool versus Tottenham, or more accurately, Tottenham versus Liverpool this Sunday at 4:30 down at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. They're going to change that soon, aren't they? It won't be that forever. It'll be some corporate jargon soon. But for right now, it's the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Very, very quickly, before we even start chatting about the Reds and all that good stuff, I want to bring your attention to our new Christmas jumpers. They are on sale now for those watching along. They are available for pre-order. We've got two designs. We've got the Glorious History and we've got the Klopp Believer. I understand this just turned November, but because they are our knitted jumpers, they take a while to produce. So if you want to get your hands on them, they're proving to be very, very popular. They are available for pre-order right now. RedmanMerch.com, if you're watching along on YouTube, there you go. There's a QR code that you can scan as well. But yeah, get your orders in now, because what happens is every year, everyone misses out and then we get told off. We have given you plenty of warning. So yeah, get yourselves involved there. Right, guys, thanks so much for joining us. Mick, I'll come to you first. When Liverpool aren't where they wanted to be, I think it's fair to say Premier League-wise, we all know that we're in a race for the top four, and usually if there's a race for the top four, Tottenham Hotspur are involved there, sometimes like the final boss of top four races, like Arvig Arsenal found this out a little bit last year as well, didn't they? So with that being said, I've wrote in the agenda, is this a must win, must not lose? Where are you at in terms of like the massive significance of this game? Because I guess the thinking is, if Spurs beat, yeah, that's it's the old six-pointer. They extend the gap, you get nothing. My personal feeling, just to jump in, is that it might be a must-not-lose. Where are you at?
Yeah, I think just recent history, I think we've drawn the last two, haven't we?
Yep.
So, like, even when we've been, like, smashing everyone, we've still, like, not got the results there. So it's still going to be a difficult game, but I think it's just you don't know what Liverpool's going to turn up. Like, we beat City, beat West Ham, then we get beat by Forest and Leeds, and then we beat Napoli, who've won 13 in a row. So you just have to... I just equate it to like Darwin Nunes. Whenever Darwin Nunes comes onto the field, it's just pure chaos. And I think Liverpool are just epitome of chaos at the minute. Like, you just have to changing structure, formations. We've had loads this year just to based on what we've got available. And you just kind of have to turn up and just see what Liverpool turn up. But I think like Spurs missing Son and maybe a couple of other players is quite key as well. So we just have to see what happens. But I think I think that we usually play better against the bigger teams, and maybe the teams that come out and going to try and attack us, so it should hopefully go like play into our hands, hopefully.
Yeah, we'll speak about their game plans and all the injuries and stuff. We'll touch upon that in a bit, but I was thinking usually I think a draw at Tottenham is a decent result for anybody really, but Chloe, we have dug ourselves a hole. You know, I keep saying this all the time, but what happens when you lose against Leeds or you lose against Forest, that you've got to make those points up somewhere, they've got to come from somewhere. That was when I thought we might have been in the title race a few months ago. Obviously that's well gone now, you would say. But even top fours, looking, you know, the points difference between the two sides is still massive. It feels to me like I say, obviously you would love to win it, don't get me wrong, and Liverpool have definitely got a chance to win it, but it feels like one where you just can't afford to lose it, really. Is that fair to say?
It's a bit of both. You can't afford to lose it, and therefore I think it's a must-win game. Because if they get another 3 points on us, then we're in real trouble. We've just beat Napoli, take that little bit of positivity if we can. They've got quite a... You're never going to have a better chance of playing Spurs than when they're without Richarlison, Son, you know, without Kulusevski, Romero. There's so many players that they're without that are so integral to their game, and yet they've still got the likes of Harry Kane and the players who are still very, very good on the day. But I don't think you're going to have not an easier, because it's never easy, but you're not going to have a better chance of winning away at Spurs than probably now, especially with that Son news that came out earlier on today. So, well, last night I think it was actually. So for me, this is a must-win game because it's the best chance you're going to get, and you need to get something out of this game so that they're not, you know, like you said, 6 points. They don't extend the gap so you can't reach them. And then you've got, we've already given ourselves a hill to climb, but at least if we also beat Southampton, then you have your break and you come back. You come back with all the players that you can, then you can really attack it.
Ideally, actually, Mick, Liverpool on 16 points after 12 games. Nowhere near where we want to be. Tottenham, we've got 26 after 13. So, Chloe's right. Really, all that the best Liverpool can do now is finish on 22. See where you're at, kind of thing. Obviously, they'll have a game in hand on these teams post-World Cup. That's going to be, won't be an easy one. It's Chelsea away, so it's not a gimme, of course. But that is the case. If Spurs win this one, they then go to 13 points. I understand Liverpool have got the game in hand, but like I say, it isn't an easy one. We just about closed the gap down on Manchester City last. We understand that we couldn't quite overtake them. It does feel if Spurs beat you, they might be another one who have just gone a little bit too far away, and all of a sudden you're looking at your Newcastle, United, Chelsea, that area of trying to come fourth. Because when you're in the top four race, ideally you want to be chasing as many teams down as you can. If Tottenham are just a bit far away from you, that's a real, real blow for the Reds.
Yeah, I think when you put it in perspective like that, I think we do need the 6 points from the two, like when you break down the maths and stuff. So yeah, I think it's going to be difficult, but like I said, I think we do raise our game against the teams that are going to hopefully come out. I know that Conte maybe swerve it, let's just sit back and then see what they can do without, like you said, like Chloe, without the Kulusevski and Son and stuff, like massive pain in our sides in recent fixtures that we've played against Son, especially, like always scores against us, it seems. But I think away from home as well, like it's even more difficult, because I think this season's been mad, but like the Leeds game, up until the Leeds game, we were like, well, we've been shit, but we usually raise it at Anfield. But the Leeds game was like a dagger to the heart. It's like, actually, if we can't raise it in a game against Leeds and actually beat a side like that where they are, then it's hard to see where we're going forward. But I think it's a mad season. I just think I still haven't quite got my head around it, to be honest. I just feel like it's still a one big dream, like where we are in the league and stuff. It just feels mad. But if we beat Spurs, we just need to... We keep saying this, though, like we beat City, beat West Ham. You're like, here we go, bit of momentum, whatever. And then it's ultimately a false dawn and you've got to start again. And it's just... Hopefully, we just got to keep trying to win games. It's simple as that.
Like, it's mad, isn't it? Because the away form this season... It's going to reel Liverpool's Premier League away results out on... I apologise in advance for the absolute shite that you were saying. So apologies. But Fulham, we drew, got beat at United.
Was there?
Yeah, we obviously drew with Everton in the league, of course. The Chelsea game was suspended. We then go to Arsenal and lose. Forest, go and lose. We haven't won an away game in the Premier League. And this isn't a hard place to go. Historically, like I say, our results against Tottenham are okay, but they're always difficult games, really, really difficult. Last season, like I say, we drew there with a bit of a depleted squad. I understand that. But yeah, when you're in poor form away, not ideal. Like I say, since then, of course, we won in Amsterdam. Of course, we won in Glasgow against Rangers as well. So they have got a little bit in the bank. Last time Liverpool did go away, it was obviously Ajax, and they got a result. But it does feel like Mick was right before when he said we played better against teams that come at us. I'm not sure going to I don't think Tottenham will. Chris put it perfectly. I don't know if you listened on the podcast yesterday. He said Tottenham are like the best team who play like a shit team, so they're not going to go toe-to-toe. Like Napoli will come and play toe-to-toe. City will go toe-to-toe. Spurs won't. Even when they add Son, they'll sit deep, they counter. I think that's why there's a bit of murmurings about Conte and Spurs fans clashing a little bit. But that's what I'm saying. It's going to be a tough one. I think we're going to go there. We're probably going to have a lot of the ball. And I just don't know at the moment in time. Does that suit us? Ideally, I'd rather just go toe-to-toe with somebody. It's going to be a big challenge because Conte isn't going to change.
You say he's not going to change, but it all depends how he sees this Liverpool side, because if you get after this Liverpool side, there are individual errors all over the pitch at the moment. If you put them under pressure, it's panic stations and your goals come from here, there and everywhere, to be honest. Yep. So actually, if they do press us high and if they actually have a go at us, and we mentioned this, you know, the counter-attack in football, without the two fastest wingers that they've got, they're without Son, yet they've got Harry Kane there, but, you know, they've got Sessegnon, which is, he's a good footballer, but he's not Son. The drop-off's absolutely
and
massive.
And Richarlison is back up and he's not, Richarlison's unavailable, yeah. Kulusevski's
exactly.
unavailable.
Exactly, yeah. So that could slightly, well, it's going to damage their counter-attack in football. He can still do it, yeah, of course, because they've got good players, but it can damage them. So it depends how much Conte thinks he can go after this Liverpool side. I just hope Liverpool, we saw with the 4-3-3, hopefully there's a bit more stability. If we can have the ball a bit more, hopefully, you know, your players like Thiago step up and do the passes, which isn't an assist, but it's a pre-assist, it's breaking the lines. And we do need to show up, that's the case. Whether having the ball or not helps us, I'm not too sure. I'd like to, we say we don't look like a team who really wants the ball right now, but if we've got the ball, it means less likely of conceding a goal. Let's say as Joe Gomez passes it back to the striker when we're in possession. But you need to be in possession in the first 5-10-15 minutes, take the sting out of that atmosphere, and then go from there.
Mick, it's funny because both of these teams love letting the first goal in. Like, we do Tottenham now in their last five games. So they beat Everton 2-0 on the 15th of October. After that, they let the first goal against Man United, they lose. They lose against Newcastle, first goal conceded. Drew against Sporting, first goal conceded. And obviously they pulled it back against Bournemouth, but again, they were down two. And even in Marseille, they were down. Like, they love letting the first goal in as well. We love letting the first goal in. It almost feels like the Spider-Man meme. Like, we're going to be putting that to you. Score! No, you score! Someone needs to score, because that's the thing. You talk about fast starts, Spurs fans, they'll be, you know, the fighting cock lads, or whoever they'll be having this conversation going, stop conceding the first goal, yeah. And we're in the exact same boat, which means it could be cagey, because if both teams are slightly withdrawn, because I'm thinking, bloody hell, we've let a lot of first goals in, it could be a bit of a stalemate at some points, perhaps in the first half, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it might be a case of cancelling each other out, and like you said, Chloe, like, they're missing, like, Son's massive, like, counter-attack and the pace, the ball over the top. Like, all they do is get Kane to drop into the hole, get run Son on the edge of the defender, ball's over the top, and he's in, because he's that quick, usually. But yeah, it's going to be, I don't know, like, I didn't know that about Spurs' last five, that's mad, like, to be fair. So it's going to be I just don't know what to expect, and I think that's just, like, the epitome of Liverpool season. We just don't know what to expect, and coming up against the Spurs side that are kind of mirroring us in the last five games, it's like, what's going to happen? Like, it's just going to be mental. But like, in terms of Spurs though, like, when I said that, like, they might come out, like, I agree with you a little bit, Chloe. Like, I think they might see, like, a few weaknesses in us, the way we've been, and they might hopefully come out a little bit. But then you just think, oh, actually, when Conte's the manager, so he's just maybe just going to be like, nah. No,
well,
point.
A point is
good for them, and it still keeps them away from us as well, in terms of, like you said, the points in the table. So
my guess is in attack they'll end up, you mentioned, just for those we've mentioned, touched on briefly, so Son's fractured his eye socket, he's unavailable. As it stands, Romero at centre half is unavailable, Kulusevski and Richarlison. So I imagine it'll be a front three of Kane, Moura and Sessegnon, which, again, there is pace in that, don't get me wrong, but it's not as frightening as Son. Oh, and then Kulusevski and or Richarlison, I think that's fair to say. They could do something with Perisic, maybe, I don't know. We'll see how it all pans out. I think they used three at the back recently. Davies, Longley and Dyer played in Marseille, so we'll see how they go. But that's the thing with Conte, he's always makes it difficult. It was our record against Conte in general. We've got some wins against him, don't get me wrong, he's done us over a few times, Chloe, but he is adamant that his way is the right way, and it's hard to argue with him because the success he's always had, it might not last long. He's starting to get Jose Mourinho vibes of it eventually it wears off, but it is certainly effective, and he's shown that again, like we saw last season. You know, ultimately the game that helps cost Liverpool titles, because we can't break Tottenham down, and they sucker punch us at Anfield, and we end up having to get a draw there. He knows exactly what he wants to do against Liverpool. It's whether, like you said, he goes same again and we'll go with it, or does he smell blood? He goes, fucking hell, Forest and Leeds got something, we can win this, and we can almost forget about Liverpool, we can put them to the sword. It'll be interesting to see what his psyche is there, because that will dictate a lot of this game.
It will, and I think you've got to have mentally strong players if that's what happens, and Liverpool have been lacking them in the last couple of games. Yeah. But if there's one thing that we've been lacking that Conte has, it's the mentality. He's a world-class manager. And like you said, he's very much a Jose Mourinho. You come in and you do the now. and you're maybe there for 2.5-3 seasons and then he's probably not going to be there any longer. There's no point in trying to rebuild with him. I think you just give him the money, give him the players you want, and he'll get you something out of it. These are now his players that he's bought. They've spent quite a lot of money, and for the first 7-8 games this season, it was going really, really well for them. It's only the last couple where it's dropped off, and they've had injuries in that time, so you can kind of understand it. But yeah, it's a case where you've got two world-class managers going up against each other, world-class footballers were on their day when they show up. But you know what? It might just be that bit more exciting that no one knows what the hell is going to happen, and probably, you know, Liverpool might be all over the place. They might be all over them. You just don't know what to expect, and I guess that's the little bit of excitement until you watch them, and then it can be very boring or demoralising. But yeah, it's a game that I'm looking forward to. I've got a little bit of a bounce and a bit of positivity from the Napoli game, and people can turn around and say it was only Napoli, it was a dead game, it didn't mean nothing. I am a borderline depression with Liverpool Football Club at the moment, so I'm taking every positive
small
I can.
Wins, yeah. Say, that's the thing, is that usually you would say, and I'm with Chloe, is that it was nice to win, obviously, of course it was, but like, Liverpool are so inconsistent. Game to game doesn't tend to matter. It's not we are on a roll because you can go and beat the best team in the country. Manchester's one of the best teams in Europe. You can win a tough game against West Ham. You know, you can go to Ajax and win. You can, and then Leeds and Forest in particular. You've had other stinkers before them as well. It feels like we aren't taking lessons from the or whatever. Like, there's no momentum. We are so inconsistent day to day. That's why we find ourselves where we are. The Napoli game was a positive for us as a fan base. Do you think it is doing anything for the players? Because it really should be, but they've shown no sign of giving a fuck what happened in the last game, because from game to game, it's just been like a roller coaster, ups and downs.
I think if the erase everything after the City game, if we would have won all those games after that, or at least not lost, I would have been like, yeah, that makes sense, because we're actually doing something right after that when we've raised our game against against Man City. So, but no, we didn't. We beat at West Ham, and that was, I mean, difficult game. We got over the line with that one. Alisson saved the penalties. There was a few little bits in there that could have went against us as well. We could have easily drew that game, to be fair.
James Milner blocking the ball.
Yeah, it's good as a goal, weren't it? That, to be fair, but yeah, I agree. It's like, even like we said, like the last couple of years, we've drew the last two, even when we've been like.
Unbelievable.
Imperious, just like no one can touch us. Like, and Conte knows that he knows how to play against us. But it's just like whether it changes slightly. It depends what we go with formation wise. Like I said, there's been so many formations, 4-3-3.
Someone's dying out there.
Stay away from that. Diamond 4-4-2, 4-3-3. There's been all kinds. So it's like, in that regard, we're a little bit more unpredictable because we could go with any of them. But it depends. Like he might see blood on for us against to try and get a win against us.
Someone's having a sneeze inside. So I go and check on that guy. Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully it's Harry Kane. Like come
down. I was gonna say, get me a COVID mask.
I think someone's having a sneezing fit also. Again, hopefully go and stand next to Harry Kane, go find and stand next to whoever that person was. I know it's interrupted there, but you are right in saying like we just need to do it. It's as simple as just do the next best thing, the next right thing, an event. That's how you get on runs. I thought Napoli, for example, in midweek, and we'll touch on Liverpool's formation later, but just in terms of a mentality, Chloe, it felt a little bit more like back to basics. We've seen Klopp do this a couple of times. He's realised that something's not right, and we've changed it, and then he'll try and build it up, and what's happened is he's got to a certain point, it's fell back down again. But it does feel like Napoli was a little bit more like, we'll do the things we're more used to. He's got the players available maybe to play certain systems. It does feel like maybe, and we'll touch on it later more in detail, but from a mentality point of view, it might just be go to spares, stop standing on rakes. Like, we don't have to go and be amazing, but let's just stop shooting ourselves in the face, you know, and then we'll build upon it from there, maybe is the messaging for the players and for the manager in particular, because like I say, Liverpool have been the architects of their own downfall recently. If you go to spares and lose, you want spares to have to beat you. You don't want to have to beat yourself, and that feels like what we've been doing recently.
Yeah, we are. We literally are our own handful at times this season. And you know, you mentioned the formation. I think the reason we changed it was because the 4-3-3 wasn't working for us. We didn't have the players, but also we just didn't know. Like, pressing is literally our identity. We talk about intensity, and we didn't have it. We weren't closing the ball down quick enough, which meant it was just easy to put 2-3 passes and be on our defensive line. And that still feels like the case very much so. But against Napoli, it felt like we just had a bit more structure about us. I think we've been trying to go to basics for a couple of weeks now and then realised that, in fact, a lot of these players are forgetting the basics, like a simple pass, you can't do it, you put it to their striker. And errors and a little bit of confidence lacking. So hopefully going back to a system that we've been doing for 3-4 years, hopefully we can just go back to the Liverpool, which didn't need to be unbelievable to win a game of football. Yeah. And that's what I liked about West Ham. That's why I thought, okay, this is the first time this season. I mean, Newcastle at home when we won in the last minute, I actually saw sparks from us that game. West Ham, I didn't really see much. We had a couple of chances here and there. Darwin Nunes put away a brilliant header. But it felt like the real game that we grafted to and we got through and we held on to a win, more like having to go for a winner. So I felt like that was maybe a starting point where we thought, okay, the mentality come back, the confidence, and then you're going to shoot yourself in the foot by doing what we did against Nottingham Forest and not turning up. So it is a case of trying to go back to the basics, just try. And also game management, we have lacked game management so far this season for a lot of games. First 15 minutes, take the sting out of the atmosphere. I don't care what you do, just do not give them anything to get up about.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And especially because their confidence, I'm guessing, is a little bit shaky as well with all the first goals that they conceded and stuff. So yeah, we're going to talk about Liverpool very, very shortly, after which we'll be picking our Betmate teams, the guys, we'll be picking their teams against me, Paul and Chris. So yeah, we're going to have a little look now. If you haven't played Betmate before, just to let you know, essentially it's fantasy football with different point scoring systems. You can pick 7 players to start your game, 4 subs as well, a maximum of 6 from each team. If you use the code REDMEN10 when you sign up, as you do as a new user, once you've played in any paid pot, you'll be given £10 worth in free bets as well. So yeah, we'll tell you the full information later, and the guys will pick their team live on the show. But we're going to have a little check how we got on overall, how we've been getting on, me, Paul, Chris and the guests. And I think it's fair to say I've been pretty crap.
It's all right, I think guests have as well, to be honest.
Yeah, we've all been pretty rubbish.
You had an excuse, you were on holiday. I don't think the guests have that.
No,
excuse.
We've all been a bit rubbish. Joe, have you got any stuff that we can bring up?
Oh.
There we go. That's how we got on last week. Paul done really well.
Did he have the goalkeeper in goal again?
He's done that a couple of times, hasn't he? I think he's doing himself a favour. I think he captained. He came fourth overall, for those who've been listening along. I came sixth. So Paul got 47.5 points and came fourth in the overall group, won himself £54. Well done to the gaffer. I came then second, getting 38 points, came 77th. Payjack, 84th overall, 37.5, and the guests, 95 overall position, 36.5 points. So you guys need to up your game in terms of, do we have any overall stuff, Joe, how we're getting on? In terms of the year as a whole then, Paul is storming away. He's won 446 points overall, totaling £103. Paul's won in terms of actual prize money. I'm second, getting 426.5 points. I've won myself 520. Now, to be fair, Payjack, he's on 1 point less than me, so he's third, but he's won 49.50 this year. I think he's the real winner there. You know what I mean? He's got more dough than me. He's obviously had a couple of big wins. And the guests are lagging behind, 412, but again, they've won more money, £15. So guys, in a bit, we'll be picking. You need to pick your teams. You need to up your games to try and close that gap on page. And hopefully, I can try and win some as well. Am I second? And I've hardly ever won. I must just be consistently crap, but like just good enough to be average. I'm Liverpool. I'm ninth. That's what I am at the moment. So yeah, we'll keep an eye. We'll explain more later when the guys pick their team. We're going to speak about Liverpool. Who's going to play, what formation, who's in form, who's out of form, the injuries, all that after this quick break. I'm going to talk to you about our latest live event that we've got coming up. Before we get to said live event, I've got a double part question for you. Who is the last player that Liverpool bought from Tottenham? Who is the last player that Liverpool sold to Tottenham? And the word bought is very important here, because we did sign Kevin Stewart off them, but that was free. The last player Liverpool paid money to Tottenham to sign, and the last player Tottenham paid money to sign from us. So yeah, if you're watching along in the YouTube chat right now, or you're in the Discord chat, get your answers in. I'll be quizzing Mick and Chloe, and they've got quizzical looks on their faces. Yeah, the last person we paid money to get from Spurs, and the last person that Spurs gave us money to sign from the Reds. So yeah, we'll be back after this quick break with the answers to that question. See you in a second.
Are you a fan of the content we produce here in podcast form? Do you love Red Men goodness in your ears on a regular occasion? Do you want to know more on and off the field info about Liverpool Football Club? Get closer to the culture of the city and the club? Well, you can do. Red Men Plus podcasts are now available to subscribe to on Spotify. Yes, we are taking the podcast section from Red Men Plus and making it available as a standalone subscription here on Spotify, so you don't need to jump over. You can continue to listen to all of our content in the Spotify app. It is available for £5 and you get full access to all of those shows each and every week and a whole host of extra content as well.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Yeah, there you have it. If you want to get yourselves down to our latest live show, tickets are free to Red Men Plus subscribers. So yeah, come and join us at Coyote Ugly. I'll be there, Chloe will be there, Mick will be there, the entire Red Men cast, Paul, Chris, Steve, Dan, all the crew. Loads of Red Men Plus subscribers and loads of contributors as well. I think Sam Walker's coming down, we've got John's coming, everyone who you see on your screens each and every week will be there, as well as our wonderful subscribers. Again, tickets are free, all you got to do is sign up at redmenplus.com, sign up for a fiver, and you get two free tickets. So worst case is, if you want to come along, you can sign up to Red Men Plus for a fiver, have the subscription for a month, and then if you want to cancel it, that's up to you, signs. But you will get yourself into that event. I'm sure you won't want to cancel it because the content's brilliant, but yeah. Come and meet us, come and have a drink. It's on November 13th, like it said, at Coyote Ugly Bar in Liverpool. So if you're over for the Southampton game, maybe you can stand around for a bit the next day and come and have a nice mid-season break party with us, and obviously great music from Jags on the Ragamuffins as well. So yeah, sign up to redmenplus.com. As you sign up, you'll get an automatic email. It'll have a link where you can get the tickets from and the code that you need to put in. Get them ordered and come and have a drink. Or if you don't drink, come and have a nice old sing-song and a chat with us guys. Right then, before the break, I asked you a two-part question. Last player to sign for Liverpool from Spurs for money, and the last player we sold to Spurs. Now, Mick, you think you've got an answer?
I've got a wild theory, probably majorly wrong.
Okay. I was
just thinking Robbie Keane, because we bought him and then sold him back.
That's the right answer.
Is it?
Yeah. The answer is, yeah, and a few people in the chat got it. I'll give some love to people in the chat as well. Easy Ollie, I think, was the first to say this as well. We've got Jake, who says Robbie Keane for both. Christian says the same. Robbie Keane is the answer to both questions. The answer was indeed Robbie Keane. Let me flick on over. So Liverpool paid around £19 million in July 2008 to sign Robbie Keane from Tottenham. And about 6 months later, 7 months later, in February 2009, we sold him back again. He found him at Rafa Benitez. Bought him, didn't fancy him, sent him back, fair enough. Pretty much, we ended up losing money on that as well, it was mad. But yeah, the answer for both questions was Robbie Keane. It was a bit of a curveball, tried to catch us out, but Mick Moran was far too smart for that one. He had it absolutely sussed. Chloe had no idea. How old was you in 2008?
Six, seven.
Oh my God, I'm so old. Yeah, that's why. Do you even know who Robbie Keane is?
Yeah. Irish fella, scored loads of goals.
Yeah, Irish guy, done tossovers. Didn't score many for us. Fell out with the manager, yeah, the answer was
Robbie. Belted against the Spurs, though. Remember that one?
He did. He scored on Arsenal.
Oh, no, sorry, Arsenal.
He scored a few. Yeah. I loved the celebration. He's done a toss over and the guns. Didn't get to see the best of Robbie. I know we've got a lot of Irish fans watching all this, and they'll be huge Robbie Keane fans.
I think he's very good on FIFA. If that's, you know, might not have watched.
Does he have like a Legends card or something?
I think he has like a hero or something.
He played in the Legends game not long ago against United as well. Yeah. So yeah, Robbie Keane, good times. Miss him, bless him. Didn't quite work out. I thought we'd sign. It was another one of those. It was a Harry Kewell, Fernando Morientes type. Yeah, we've got Robbie Keane. Yeah, turned out, we got Robbie Keane. Didn't work out for him. But anyway, that's where we're up to. Right then, we spoke before the break. We touched on Spurs and the problems they could cause Liverpool. The problems that Liverpool have been causing themselves, Chloe, which is probably more more apparent. Before we speak about Liverpool's formation, I want to just talk about injury stuff. So, we know the long-term injuries, they're not going to be around. So if that's your Jotters, your Diazes, look at Joel Matip's probably still in that boat as well. Arthur Melo, remember him? He's injured as well. In terms of doubts, I was speaking to Neil Jones this morning for Journal Insight on Plus, and he reckons Hendo should be okay. James Milner probably not.
Yeah.
Obviously, with the concussion stuff, Liverpool probably take that one a little bit easy. But Jordan Henderson, by all accounts, should be back and available. So I suppose first question will be, Jordan Henderson stay back in? Do you think they've just saved him from Napoli, or do you think the captain stayed back into the team?
Yeah, I think he goes straight back into the team, whether he was still picking up a knock or, you know, they were just protecting him. He didn't, you know, start against Napoli, and that was fine, to be honest, because we win the game anyway. He comes on, he adds a bit more intensity into the match, which I didn't mind. So, I'd put him straight back in the game. Fabinho and Thiago, if we're going 4-3-3 as well.
Let's do that then. Do you think he is going back to 4-3-3? Do you think he changes back to the
diamond? I just don't get why you'd change it again. You've gone with it. You know, he's gone. There's about four formations that he could choose. The one with absolutely no width is not working for us, so I hope he doesn't go back to that. And the 4-3-3 looked a bit more stable. I don't understand why you'd ever go back to it against Napoli if you then weren't going to go and use it against Spurs, because Napoli were a brilliant side, one of the best in Europe in form at the moment. And Spurs is a very, very tough side to break down. So I don't see why not. You can always in-game change it if you've got 10, 15 to go and you really need a winner. Okay, yeah, go for it up front. But to start off with it, go more stable and let ourselves get a foot of the game.
I suppose the main issue with the four, if it was four, we haven't actually got four what you call proper attacks to the goal front. It was sad when it was Diaz, when you had Diaz, Jota, Nunes, Salah and Bobby, four of five, and then you had the ones on the bench, and then you've got Harvey and Carvalho. Maybe did I say Salah?
We have five,
and then now we're basically in terms of actual forwards, we've got Jones, who played there the other day, but I don't think that's his position. It's really Nunes, Bobby and Salah, and then otherwise you put on a Carvalho and Elliot or a Jones, which I'm not sure that works. It feels to me, Mick, that Ox is back, Naby's back, Hendo's back, obviously Fabinho, Thiago are around as well, Curtis Jones, Harvey Elliott, he's got loads of midfielders, he might as well just pick fucking three of them. Feels most likely, again, and with Chloe, it's probably going to be Fabinho, Henderson, Thiago, but I wouldn't rule Harvey Elliott out of this mix either. Do you think he's gone back to the three for Napoli, thinking, use it there and then we'll carry it into Tottenham? Because if his plan was to use the diamonds again or the 4-2-4, he probably would have just used it again rather than swapping and changing.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the board over there, I think 4-3-3 is probably best, like you said, Chloe. Like against Napoli, it worked. And we were a lot more, like having Konate back was massive. Yeah. Like, I can't be understated how massive that was.
He had a period of 5 minutes where he was spraying balls out of the, you know, outside the realms of the pitch, but it was a bit funny. He was sound after that, weren't he?
Yeah, well, yeah, he was going a bit mad, weren't he, with those long passes, and he was just floating out for throw-ins and that. But apart from that, like, awesome, and he just kept him, like, he's a danger man, kept him quiet. I'm not even going to try and pronounce the Georgian fella's left wing name.
He's Kvaratskhelia.
Yeah.
You
been practising that?
Yeah.
Because he's going to sign for the Reds.
Cavaradonna, I like that. That's what they call him. I think it's about that anyway, isn't it? So
he done well against them as well, like just covering over for Trent. So in terms of like from the last game, I can maybe see Robbo in for Tsimikas, Hendo in for Milner, and then Nunes in for Jones, to be honest.
Chloe, we've got a comment from Perez here in the chat, and he just says like, Thiago, Henderson, Keita, so I'm guessing that means Hendo was a six. Naby and Ox are available. To throw them straight in, I suppose, away is a big ask, but I still maintain, I might be wrong, and everyone's up and down. I'm still a Naby fan when he's on the pitch. You've got to build him up. does it feel like he's just going to play against Derby and then maybe Southampton? Play, again, his Spurs away game where you want him, maybe a good bench option, I suppose, because it does feel at the moment it's three. If he's going to play three, it's Fab, Hendo, Thiago and Elliot. It's probably three of those four.
The thing with Elliot is he mentioned players playing far too much than what he needed to.
And then
Elliot
left them out.
And Elliot was one of those players.
Yeah.
And then he obviously comes on. But he's one of the players that's been used more than we'd like. Yeah, he's been absolutely boss for us, and he's been quite consistent. But he is still a 19-year-old lad, spares away the environment. I'd say you put your captain in for that. You could argue Fabinho's not been playing good enough, which it's very true. He really hasn't. And maybe that's where you put Keita in. But for me, The thing with Keita is he's a good option off the bench. We haven't really had anyone who's a like-for-like replacement for Thiago. He's the closest you can get. And Thiago has played the last couple of games since he's been back from an ear infection. He's usually the first sub off him or Henderson, with Henderson playing not as many minutes as Thiago in the last couple of weeks. Thiago's probably your first sub if everything's going fairly okay, and that's when you put Keita on. I think it goes to a midfield. I just don't think you throw a player who's not played had a kick of a ball since pre-season in a game against Spurs away.
Yeah, I think you're probably right there. Darwin plays, Mick, for you. He didn't play in midweek. Where does he play, though? Does he go left? Does he go front? What would you do with the big fella? I love him, by the way. He's the best.
I've never been more excited to watch it. Like, Luis Diaz, I was excited when he came, but now Darwin Nunes.
I put on Twitter the other day, every possibility in the world is there for Darwin. He could do anything. He could score from our half. He could miss from a yard. He could out-sprint a cheetah. He could knock... at any point, he could just turn around and knock a Tottenham player out. Everything. Yeah, yeah. Like the other day, he webs from the back of the head.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything's exactly on the table. He is must-watch. He's like 1995 WWF. The attitude there at wrestling, you just couldn't take your eyes off it because something bananas is going to happen with the big fella. He gets in the team. It's whether Jürgen wants to stick him up front or put him on the left of a three. The worry with the left of a three is defensively, what are we doing? Or does he say, I go really solid in midfield and just let the front three go and attack? They're the options available to him. But what would you do?
I mean, I'd love him to start left wing. Why not? I mean, it's Salah on the right, Firmino through the middle, and then Nunes down the left. Because I think it's no coincidence that in the Napoli game, it was only after he came on that everything just started going mental. Like, got a yellow card for smashing someone in the back of the head. got an assist. Was it an assist technically?
Sort of. It's Salah.
But he could have got another one. Like, Ali plays a long ball. Him and Mo have a good bit of link up. He plays a nice ball in. Salah, it only gets just knocked off his feet by the last minute by the Napoli defender, so we could have two assists, one goal, yellow card, sums up Darwin Nunes, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm right here for it. I'm here for the Nunes chaos. I absolutely love it. Like, it's mad because he just comes onto games and you're like, he might be like amazing, he might not be great or whatever, but it's just like you just don't know what's going to happen, and it's just I love it. But he scored 7 goals now in like 15 appearances, and there's only 5 Liverpool strikers in Premier League era that have done that. I've scored more. Apparently.
Flip side, you're right. You can't go arguing against his record. The eye test is up and down with him, Claude. With the flip side to his argument, mixed arguments, if you put it the other way, is he's a great sub.
He is
a great sub. So again, if you're worried about, if you're going safety first, you could pick Kirk could play there again, or you could go, you know, try and do something else. You could play 4-4-2 and just have Sutherland and Bobby doing a bit up front and trying to be a bit more solid with the aim of unleashing the fucking carnage of Darwin Nunes on them later on, because the issue when you start all three of them, your bench options for forwards are, it's Fabio Carvalho, it's Jones, or it's Elliot. Perhaps it depends. Like, you haven't got anything on your bench, so it depends again. Does Jürgen want to go solid safety first with the thought of give them half an hour of just pure Darwin chaos, or do you just go and try and get at them and go, you know what, fuck it, we just put our best for the attackers on and go from there?
Because I want excitement, I want him to start. I think he should be starting. He has to start for me. And I get the whole player off the bench, but there's no point in bringing a player off the bench, you know, with 20 minutes to go if you're 2-3-0 down, because it's just the game's over. Yeah. You might as well start him, and I think he needs to start. I think he's been our... I mean, we've got Salah there, but Darwin Nunes just seems to be all over the place. When he got a red card against Crystal Palace, I was fuming because that was at the time where I thought we could still win a league, and I thought, right, where's the Liverpool at? And now it was a bit stupid of him. Now I love everything about him. I love, like, he dived the other day against Ajax, and I was like, oh my God, sell him just for that. And then he missed an open goal. I was like, sell him, but like, joking. But yeah, I think he's mad, and I absolutely love it. He's a most definite got to start for me. Cool. I don't know what you do. I love the idea of Harvey Elliott on the left wing, and I'll say it continuously until Jurgen Klopp eventually does it at one stage because he's running out of players.
Harvey Elliott has, it's like there's a force field down the middle of the pitch, and he has to just be on the right.
Yeah, that's exactly.
That's Harvey Elliott, just exists on the right hand side of the footy pitch. So Jurgen's arguing against you.
I know he is, and he's got the whole lot of data behind him for the reason, so but I can understand.
One day you'll get the freedom of Liverpool as well, Chloe, and you'll be the same because you're Jurgen's got you.
Can I be on his wage, please?
Yeah,
great. Just not working here,
I see.
Now, I like that idea, and also it means you could maybe bring Firmino off the bench. He's never going to do it. This is just in a world where I'd love to be manager for 5 minutes. But I just think a natural left footer whipping balls into Darwin Núñez, yes, please. But I'll deal with him on the left wing as well. He came on, he did unbelievable against Manchester City. He had them all over the place. And you mentioned his defensive duties. I think he's been arguably one of our better players in terms of transitioning when he needs to run back. He's been there.
He's willing to push the afterburners on, doesn't he? I suppose the final question, Mick, is centre half. Just we looked much more solid against Napoli. It's got to be Konate, hasn't it?
I'd be amazed if Konate doesn't start again. He was apart from the first 5 minutes where he was a bit mental with his passing.
It was almost like he forgot that he was a footballer. Like, what am I doing again? Yeah.
But still stopping every attack, but his feet just weren't working. Like, I had just two left feet for the first 5 minutes. But once he grew into the game, and like, he's been injured for a while, hasn't he? And he's come back in, and he's just great at smothering fires. Like, he knows where the danger is. Like, he's just like, I absolutely love him, and I just hope he stays fit, because I think that, like, Van Dijk and Konate is a two. What striker's going to get the better of them two? Like, they're both strong, both quick, both good on the ball. Konate was showing glimpses of, dribbling forward the ball, like Matip-esque as well, in the second half as well, which you want to see more of. So I think as a duo, I think they're our best two. I think even with everyone fit, I think there's a case, obviously, with Joel Matip. I think against the lower block teams, I think Matip might be better because he carries the ball forward and maybe does those Matip-esque going on adventure runs and doing 1-2s and all that and scoring against Leeds last year. But I think most games I want to see Konate and Van Dijk. I just think it's the best duo.
Yeah, and I think that's probably what we are going to see. We don't, not to give too much away, we'll speak to the guys later. They'll tell us what the 11th day you'll pick as well. Before you do it, you're going to pick your Betmate team in a second as well. So yeah, as I mentioned earlier, you want to get involved with us, play against us in the Betmate League. This week we are playing in the Liverpool versus Tottenham £1,000 pot. Me, Paul and Chris have already picked our teams, and we'll show you those later on. The guys here are going to pick theirs. Now, do you want to get it all set up for us, Chloe? Go and get yourself involved.
That is the one.
So yeah, if you're joining, yeah, have you got it?
Yeah.
There we go. Look at that one. Perfect. So yeah, go through the rules very, very quickly with you again. What, you want to shut yourselves out?
Awesome.
Yeah, Alisson's your goalie sign. So yeah, you pick seven starting players and four subs, a maximum of six from every team. Get points for various tasks. So what have you done so far?
Trent and Robertson. We're going to go with Højbjerg as our player from Spurs.
Yeah.
Thiago or Harvey Elliott, who are you thinking?
Are you only having one Spurs player?
Yeah, the rest is my bench. I'm always going to back the Reds, aren't I?
I reckon Thiago. I think Harvey Elliott is a question mark about these starts, isn't he? I reckon Thiago probably. Yeah.
And then the obvious two up front is going to be Mo Salah and Darwin Núñez, because there's no way I'm not putting Darwin Núñez in the squad at the moment.
So your team then. You can throw your subs in, so just to clarify.
Just random players.
And have a little think about your captain and your vice captain there as well, while you're cracking on. But you've got Ali, Robbo, Trent, Højbjerg, Thiago, Salah, and Núñez. So you're back in the Reds, obviously, in terms of the points. Who's your skipper and who's your vice? So captain gets double points of those, and vice captain gets 1.5 points.
I just want to go Darwin as captain, just because I'm feeling the Darwin love today. Everyone's loving
Darwin.
We're going
to put Darwin as the captain.
Yeah.
Alisson or Salah as the vice captain, I was thinking.
Salah, I reckon. I'm just thinking.
Goals for the Reds. There you go, the guys are absolutely sorted. Their team is done, and the Redmen guests are in place for their teams. I will very much bring you our teams up now and see how we compare then. So Joe is going to box us off with that one. First up is Paige Jack. He's got Hugo Lloris. He's got Lloris in goal.
He's got Son up top.
Chris is going to have to change his team. He's got Robbo, Trent, Thiago, Elliot, Nunes, and Son. Now, the good thing about Betmate is, unlike other fantasy footy, you've got till 5 minutes before kickoff to change your team. So we know for a fact now that Son isn't going to be in it. So, yeah, someone's going to have to have a quick word with Chris. He'll change that. I'm guessing he might throw Harry Kane in there, might anyway, instead. But yeah, he could pick a Liverpool player. He's got options. But there we go. There's Chris's. Who's next? It's the gaffer. Paul's found this formula, by the way, and it might be a cheat code to all you Betmate people out there.
He hasn't gone with it, though.
He has. He's got the captain, the goalie, as captain. Because you get the save points and all that. In the last few weeks, he's been an absolute stinky Davis and captain the opposition goalie. And they've both... He had Dean Henderson and Melier the other day. They both had worldies. So hopefully, the matron captain and the goalie routine saves again. And Alisson comes to the fore. He's also got Perisic, Robertson, Thiago,
Bentancur,
Mo Salah as his vice captain, and then Harry Kane. And then finally is, I look very shocked on there, don't I? What's that Peyton called? The fella with the screen one.
I look like him there, don't I?
For those who are listening along, I do apologise. It's basically me. I look like Kevin from Home Alone. For those listening along, I've got Ali, Robbo, I've got Perisic as well. Thiago, I've got Bentancur. I too have captained Big Darwin Nunes and I've vice captained Harry Kane because I do think both teams are going to score in this one. But yeah, come and get yourselves involved. Come and play against us and the guests. Like I say, if you use the code REDMEN10 when you sign up, join any other paid pot. Once you've done that, you'll get £10 worth of free bets. Again, UK only, over 18s only, and gamble responsibly if you're into all that kind of stuff. If gambling isn't for you, absolutely fine. Don't get involved. If it's something that you like to get involved in, please do so. But again, be responsible, be safe. And most importantly, just do it to have a bit of fun. And apparently, if you captain the other team's goalie, you might win some too as well. But yeah, get yourselves involved, guys. Really nice to see you playing against us. To play along, very, very simple. There's a link in the description below. Or you can just download the Betmate app from the App Store or whatever phone it is that you use. Like I say, do that, get involved, sign up as a new user, use the code, and come and play against us. Right then, we've got a rough idea based on your Betmate team, guys, what you think the 11s are going to be. But Mick, I'll come to you first then. What would, if you're Jürgen Klopp right now, you get the chance to pick an 11, running through it. I will name some names, tell me when to stop if I'm wrong, because I think I might know what you want to do.
Yeah.
You're going to want Ali in goal. You've got Ibu and Virgil at the back. You've just given away with your Betmate team. Robbo and Trent. Fabinho.
Yep.
Henderson, Thiago.
Yep.
Nunes, Salah, Bobby.
Yep.
Chloe.
Exactly.
Yeah. You do the same.
Yeah. Well, he's not going to play Harvey Ellis off the left wing, so yeah, I'll settle with that.
What would you do?
What would I do?
So with Harvey Ellis being your 11?
It's the fact that I just want Darwin Nunes up top. Yeah, I love him as a left winger.
That's fine.
As well,
that's your 11.
Up top. I also understand that, you know, Harvey Elliott against Spurs at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, it's a very daunting task. So the most respectable and probably the one which is most likely is that one.
I don't care what Jürgen's going to do. I want to know what you want to do. We have another show where we can pick up what we think Jürgen's going to do. It's literally called the Start 11 Prediction Show. Yeah. It's about an hour and a half time. Paul's doing that one. What would the Chloe 11 be?
I'd probably still do the same.
You would do the same?
Yeah, I'm a bit of a shithouse, aren't I?
After all that arguing, Harvey Elliott, the best left wing we have, doesn't get in your team. I would drop Fabinho and play Harvey, I think. I'd love to get Naby in. If he's 100%, I'd get him in as well, but instead of Harvey on that. But I think I wouldn't play Fabinho. I would play Henderson in the six with Thiago and Harvey. I think you can get a little bit of space. They have a very battle in midfield, and that's the difference. I understand it, because there's Højbjerg, Bentancur, and it depends what they do. But I just think it might be a little bit too steady. You need a little bit of something. I don't know, but I think I wouldn't be playing. I actually thought Fabinho was better against Napoli, but I don't think he's there yet. So that's, I would go 4-3-3 with Hendo in that sick role, but I don't think, I agree, I don't think, I think the team I think that is what Jürgen is about to do. Right then, we've obviously spoke about Liverpool's trip to Tottenham. Obviously, it's a big weekend of Premier League action, as it always is. Just running through the other fixtures that are going to be taking place this weekend. Forest host Brentford. Brentford will probably win like 7-0. We're the only team who are ever going to get beat at home by Nottingham Forest. Brighton go to Wolves. City get Fulham. Remember back in the day when we used to have to worry about when Manchester are going to win?
You know.
Now they can just beat Fulham 7-0 and we can just shrug our shoulders and not even be asked about it. Leeds, probably going to get beat at home by Bournemouth because that's how things are going at the moment in time. Everton have got Leicester. Chelsea Arsenal's a big game, and that has got obviously top four implications, more so with the Chelsea angle of it for the Liverpool indeed. United, again, who are probably going to be in that race. They go to Villa on Sunday.
Villa. Unai Emery.
Unai Emery's Aston Villa hosting Man United. Unai Emery's Aston Villa and Eric Ten Hag's Man United. Isn't it mad how footy changes so quickly? Southampton host Newcastle again. Newcastle seems to be in this race for now. And West Ham against Crystal Palace, and then of course the weekend ends with the game down at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. We are in this top four stuff now, Chloe. I know you do the Around the League show every Monday, so you're keeping like on loads of these other teams. It does feel like they're games where you could see Chelsea, Arsenal are favourites, I imagine, against Chelsea at the moment. United could slip up at Villa, I suppose, now that apparently they might have turned the corner, or it's been a bit up and down already. Newcastle, Southampton, I don't know, but I'm guessing we're all Arsenal fans maybe for this weekend, which is a mad thing to say, but that's where look what you've done to us, Liverpool. You've turned us into Arsenal fans, for fuck's sake. And Aston Villa, we were supporting them anyway. We might have hated them for a while after they got rid of Stevie, but now we love them again.
Aston Villa?
Yeah.
I've never loved Aston Villa.
Even when they had Steve? No, not
even when they had Steven Gerrard, I did not like Aston Villa.
That's fine, okay. Are we right, maybe I was projecting there, but yeah. Are we Arsenal and Villa fans then this weekend? It looks like we are.
Fans is a bit much, innit?
Keen observers.
Yes.
I say this, right, but Fulham are above us as well, so Brighton. So if we're supporting all the teams who are against above us, after league, our rivals.
To be fair, though, none of it ultimately matters unless Liverpool do their job. There's been a couple of weeks in a row where some results have gone for us and Liverpool just haven't capitalised. I know we're the last to play, and I'll be ticking things that'll probably go our way beforehand. But unless Liverpool get the job done, there's no point looking at the other fixtures.
Absolutely, yeah, you're right in saying. The whole thing is crossed. Liverpool can get their job done last, but at least they'll know me. They'll be aware of what's happened elsewhere. Whether that's a good thing.
That's what I'm worried about.
To
be fair though, we were half 12 against Nottingham Forest, and we didn't know that, you know. Some teams were going to slip up, and we still failed with that one.
Yeah, true.
These Reds, they keep letting us down. Come on, lads. I'll say that, up and down. Got a comment here, I want to read out because it made me laugh in the Discord chat. It's from ODV Metalhead. I hope we thrash and beat the crap out of Spurs this Sunday. I agree. We all agree. There you go, come and join the Redmen Plus Discord chat and get great insight like that one. Absolutely perfect. Yeah, I'm with you. The sentiment's exactly, that's what we need to do. It'd be nice, Mick, like we've been saying this for a while now, just you need the points are more important to performance. I think in midweek we kind of got a little bit of both. We had a good performance and a win. It would be nice if Liverpool, listen, if they win last minute because someone scores an own goal like we've done against Tottenham a few years ago, we'll absolutely take it, don't get me wrong. But it would be nice to put on a bit of a performance just to make, well, if nothing else, just make it. I'll be there, so I want to watch them play good footy for a start. But just to, again, like lift the mood a little bit more because it's pretty sour.
Yeah, I just can't see us playing that well. That's the thing. I don't want to be.
See, look, you've done it. It's like, Mick Moran, the most positive man in the world, and even he thinks you're crap.
I just can't. I'm half glass half full and all that. But just like the way we are at the minute, like just got myself excited after City wins and all that. And then, like I said, just like it didn't happen in terms of long term, like Liverpool being good at footy, like kicking the ball around, just wasn't a thing anymore. Just couldn't string far passes together most games. But yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. I think that's part of the joy, isn't it? Like, we just have to see what happens. Like, all the games come before, we can see what happens, and then we can hopefully, it's Tottenham away, so it's not like Forest away, where we're going to them and we're like, oh yeah, we should beat these. That's like, I don't know, that
you could be top of the league, having won every game, and go to Spurs away and it's a struggle.
Exactly. You've got Spurs away, it's still a big game, it always has been. And like recent results, we've drawn the last two, so even when we've been good, we haven't done that well. So maybe we can just go there and go, well, fuck it, like let's just see what happens. Like these are a good side, they're missing some key players, but we've got some good players come back, like Zaketa and Kanate and Oxlade-Chamberlain. There's some players there that we can actually have on the bench to rotate the midfield, because the rotation of the midfield's been part of the big problem, really. We've been playing players too often and grinding them into the ground, like i.e. Fabinho, who's just been a shell of himself. So there's a load of players there that we can hopefully start to rotate a little bit more as the season goes on. Obviously, we've then got the World Cup coming up, so like, see what happens after then, like what state the players are going to be in. But it's just nice to have options again. And like, yeah, you said, just throw Javier at left back for Chloe, just to make her happy.
Absolutely fine. We'll have a word with Jürgen, try and get him in. Speaking of Jürgen, by the way, his press conference is tomorrow afternoon. If you want to watch or listen to that, we always have it available on our YouTube channel a bit later on. And of course, you can listen to it, so put the audio on our podcast. So yeah, in your native podcast apps, just search for the Red Men TV and you can listen to it. Afterwards on Red Men Plus, Chloe does a press conference reaction show as well. We get the latest news. Chloe breaks that down for us. And if you want more on this game as well, of course, the Oppo preview is also out on Red Men Plus right now. Steve Plunk spoke to Flav from the Fighting Cock. Really, really good chat. So yeah, that's available on Plus for you now if you go and sign up. And then later on the YouTube, at time recording, Paul will be at the board with the starting 11 prediction. So yeah, so we've got you covered from this game in every single angle on Red Men TV YouTube channel, on the podcast, and of course on Red Men Plus. And like I say, if you do go and sign up to Plus today, you'll be entitled to 2 free tickets to our live meetup. Hopefully we'll be celebrating 3 points against Spurs, beating Derby and then beating Southampton, and we want a nice win and run, and we can all have a nice sing-song and a pint in relative comfort. Worst case is we lose all those games and come and have a big cuddle with us and we'll drown our sorrows win. Together. So yeah, very, very quickly then before we go, guys, score prediction, Mick.
2-1 Liverpool.
2-1 Liverpool.
I'll go 2-1 Liverpool as well. There you go. Clean sweep. Thanks to Mick. Thanks to Chloe. Thanks to you guys for watching and or listening to the show. Like I say, keep an eye out on all the content. All the match build-up stuff is there. And for the game itself, we will have the live watch-along on Sunday. So if you're not going to Tottenham, if you are, come say hello, by the way. If you're not, I think Paul and Chris will be in the studio live for the entire watch-along. So come and get involved with that. And we'll catch you after that, fingers crossed, after Liverpool have hopefully beaten Tottenham Hotspur. Until next time, I'll catch you all soon. Take care, everyone. Hey guys, hope you enjoyed that show. If you want even more Liverpool podcasts in your lives, do check out Red Men Plus. From as little as £5 a month, you can get tons and tons and tons of Liverpool content in podcast form. So yeah, go over to redmenplus.com, check out our amazing content. I'm sure you are going to love it.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.